This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
We had a conversation off the air. I think it could be a good conversation on the air.
Yeah, and it's one that we found ourselves minutes before the show having this 10-minute discussion. We thought, let's take this to the air. And some of it has to do with, obviously, the executive with the Detroit Tigers that resigned before he was fired for sending inappropriate pictures to others. But he did it on, what are you going to ask?
I was going to say, what do you mean inappropriate photos, John?
Lewd photos.
What does that mean, John? We all know.
But it got us talking because
they were legitimate questions as you were doing the story.
No, you were fishing.
You were.
Okay.
When I say lewd photos, you know what. Anyway, let's keep going.
Takes us to where we were going with this conversation in regards to, and I mentioned it at the time, Snapchat. That is the one app that I absolutely despise. I think it's fun if everyone is above board and everyone is appropriate, everyone's acting as they should as responsible human beings. We all know that's not always the case. As a dad, I always look at the kids' phones, and the problem with Snapchat is pictures disappear. Now, you can look at, you know, the history and see who's sending pictures. The problem is, if you're a despicable individual, you aren't going to use your own name. You're not going to have an avatar of a middle-aged man. It's going to be of a young individual to try and bait these kids into inappropriate conversations or sending them inappropriate things or trying to get something in return. And that drives me nuts.
I have one quick question. I don't have Snapchat, really have never used it except to play with filters once years and years and years ago. Mm-hmm. Can you take screenshots?
Yes, but it notifies the other person, at least when I had it. I don't have it anymore.
Okay. Anyway.
Oh, so somebody has sent you pictures that you've screenshotted? What were those pictures?
Nothing lewd.
Or you sent one that somebody screenshotted.
I want to get this out. I have never sent.
I'm not saying that, but I mean, it's so sometimes you send funny pictures, right?
Yeah,
and I've done
it
with the kids, right? And they'll take a screenshot.
Yeah. It's been years since I've used Snapchat, but at that time, unless they've made an update, it would let the other person know you took a screenshot. But what some people would do is if you had your friends, and they use one phone to take a picture of the other phone. Kids are smart, and also it's scary.
Okay.
Which led us to the conversation about your comfort level with your kids on social media and when your kid even gets a phone to begin with.
Yeah, because we know in school there's been this big public push, whether it's through the legislature or school districts individually, saying no cell phones in school, and which I think is a great rule.
Or in the classroom.
In the classroom.
Because usually they're allowed in the school, but you need to leave them in like a locker or
somewhere
else.
And there have been different states that have different rules and different laws of, you know, whether they're even allowed to have them in school now or not.
Okay.
So it raises the question, when are you okay with allowing your kids to have a cell phone? Because different situations require different things.
It's a really hard question that we haven't had to tackle yet. Clearly, our oldest is three, but nobody has house phones anymore, right? So like if when she's old enough and Brooks is old enough to stay at home, they're going to need a phone and we don't have a house phone.
When did you get your first phone?
I got my first phone when I was 16 and got a car, and it was not used as a cell phone. It was a car phone. It was a phone that stayed in the car.
Yeah.
And it was like one of those old school, like it wasn't huge. Well, it would have been huge now, but like a flip phone. Not quite, because it did flip. It was okay. A flip phone.
Yeah.
But it was literally, I kept it in the car. I didn't use it to text or make phone calls. And then I got my first phone, like the phone that I purchased, like, and I bought with, you know, I was like, I'm going to go get a phone. It was so expensive at the time because it was like color screen.
Right.
It was a flip. It's still the flip phone. I'm sure I was still 16, but.
John, I mean, when did
you
get
your phone? The flipping it opens, the best part.
Yeah. When did you get your first phone?
So I will show my age here.
The elder statesman of the show. When did you get it?
So there was one friend that had a phone in college, and it was one of those that came in a case. It had a huge battery.
Like a briefcase?
Yeah. No, it was like, I don't know, it 6 inches wide by 12 inches by, you know, whatever. And it would fit underneath the seat, right? And it was for emergency purposes.
It was
only.
That car phone.
Right. And so the when I got my first phone was after I graduated college my senior year, and I was, you know, trying to, you know, communicate with my agent, with other individuals in the NFL of, you know, getting ready for the draft. That's when I got my first flip phone. And I obviously texting was all new, calling at different spots, because you didn't always have cell coverage where you were. I mean, now it seems like you have it almost nearly everywhere, or you have Wi-Fi that covers it. So it wasn't something I was faced with, certainly as a teenager or as a middle schooler or even in my college years.
No, and social media wasn't even really a thing until I was in college, when it was the Facebook. And it was only for college students with
did
a college.
Did you ever have a MySpace?
I did have a MySpace, John. Don't know who my top six were anymore, but I did have a MySpace.
So as the youngest of the three of us, I got a phone in sixth grade.
Oh my God.
Now, this was not a smartphone. I didn't get a smartphone until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So there were limitations, but, you know, texting with T9 and you call to, you know, get picked up from wherever you are with your friends. So I had a phone relatively young, but it didn't have the capabilities of the phones now.
Right.
If you give a 10, 12, 11-year-old a smartphone, they have access to everything.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think the phone is the issue. It's the smartphone and the access to the internet and social media apps.
It's a computer in your hand.
That's
the issue.
You can
do whatever you want.
Not the phone.
And talk to whoever you want. And kids are, like, it's what they've grown up with. So they know, like, Teddy has an iPad that he watches. He can navigate the iPad. He's 3 years old. And so it's something that they're very familiar with. And, you know, whether it's iPad, it's a phone, everything changes. So for us, because the rules are going to be a little bit different for Teddy than they have been for the other kids. For the other kids, because their mom and I was going through a divorce, both of us needed to be able to communicate with the kids at different times. But for Teddy, and there's a big push in a lot of the communities, an actual, like, I don't know if you want to call it a media push, but it is, hey, try and put off getting a phone for your kid until they are going to high school or they are in eighth grade, and put it off as long as possible, one, for their development, but also because of the risks involved with the apps that are on there. And it's not even the apps anymore, because you can communicate through so many different, you can just communicate through the internet. It doesn't need to be an app.
So we'll throw it out. Phone number's 248-539-9797. You're a parent. When do you give your kid a phone? And how do you monitor with all these apps? I know the Snapchat thing freaks you out as a parent.
Any social media freaks me out as a parent. What do you do in the evenings? Like, when they go to bed, do they have access to their phone? Like, are they able to do anything? Like, or do you make them leave it charged in the kitchen? Like, how do you... I don't want my kids upstairs in bed when they're supposed to be sleeping, playing on social media apps or...
Well, and there's a lot of studies about, you know...
getting on the internet.
About if you're looking at your phone in bed. Now, the whole blue light thing has been kind of debunked as a myth in terms of it affecting your sleep. But if you are on your phone or you're on a device in bed, it becomes addicting and you're doing the mindless scrolling, that it does affect how much you sleep and how much rest.
Right. So what do you do with your kids?
So what I should do and what I am doing is different.
This actually started off air. We were talking about Sam Menzin, the assistant general manager of the Tigers. He resigned before they dismissed him because of allegedly sending lewd photos.
Unsolicited lewd photos to female employees.
Yeah. Gross, despicable, and sounds like it was over Snapchat, which is how kind of the ball got rolling here. What about these kids who have Snapchat on their phone? When do you let your kid have a phone? How do you monitor this? John, before we get to the bank of calls, you said you have what you should do and what you do do.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Well,
I know I said doo-doo.
You said doo-doo.
I know.
Kind of threw me for a loop there. What you should do is, hey, when they go to bed, their phones are left in the kitchen. They're not in their room, and you get them an alarm clock. But you can also turn the phone into basically a paperweight or an alarm clock, because you could set time limits that have a passcode on it that only I know. And so during the day, I have time limits set up for how long they can be on these apps.
So the phone itself still works, just the apps.
Correct.
And the internet.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, and obviously the older kids, they need to have their phones because, you know, like Ruby's driving to and from school and different things like that. But what we're talking about is when they're in your home and you know, I do think that they're on them too much, but you can set up those time limits. And the time limits, like for Instagram, I've got a 5-minute time limit for the day. So same thing with Snapchat.
Do all of your kids have social media accounts? And when did you let them have one?
I don't think Teddy has one.
No, Teddy does not.
I'm not talking about Teddy.
I know. Yes,
that's ridiculous.
Yes, yeah. Jerk.
Well, you know what? Some people set up their own accounts for their little
kids. And they post photos.
Yeah, like Instagram. Yes. I've seen that, so they can watch their life in pictures.
But anyway, like how old were you and your daughters? How old were they when they got an Instagram or a...
The first time, and so Snapchat has been removed a couple of times and then replaced. I don't remember how old they were. They probably were 13, 14, which I think is in hindsight way too young. And a decision that I regret.
But everybody...
How much of this is all my friends are on?
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing is, yeah, their friends are on it, but then now it becomes peer pressure. Like, as a parent, you're not the one that's supposed to succumb to peer pressure.
But you're going to let your kid be a loser and not have all fun with all the friends? And well, like, I think that's the pressure that you get put under.
It does. And so that's why I think you go in and you create these time limits and you make it known that I am going to be looking at your phone. I'm going to be looking at your text messages. I'm going to be looking at your social media. So that they know at any point, I'm going to grab your phone. It could be in the middle of the day. It could be at night. But you also put time limits on in regards to how long they can actually be on those apps.
Phone calls, ticket text, 248-539-9797. Let's start with Matt in Roseville. Matt, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry, this is a near and dear problem to my heart. I've got a 10-year-old and two 7-year-olds. And I think the 10-year-old got an inactive iPhone at around 8, and we set up a kid's messenger account for him so he could message with his cousins and with his friends from school and things like that. But we can monitor all of that. The entire threads show up on our messenger accounts as well. But, you know, we've got them set up on phones that are only Wi-Fi, so they're only able to use it in the house or when they're on hotspot from our phones. There's a lot of, you know, options you can do for protection there. In fact, their iPhone account is set up to where they can only download apps that we approve. It actually sends us a request to say, hey, they want to download this app. Do you approve? And you have to, you know, click and allow it, basically, for them to be able to do it. John, I wanted to tell you as well that there's some new advances in a couple of new phones with a couple of the carriers that for when you're hunting, even if you're outside of cell phone service, they'll allow you to do satellite text messaging. So you can actually send text messages from wherever you are if you get into a situation where you need some help carrying something out of a brush where you don't have cell phone service.
I've actually utilized that, and thanks for bringing that up. This is a great point. If you are outside of service and you still need to make a call, you send a text for emergency purposes, you could do that. You can also access, you know, you can download maps ahead of time and use those offline. And the GPS on the phone will still tell you where you are so that you can get out of a tight spot. Been there. Where am I?
Let's get to Daniel. You're next up. Daniel, you're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning. I was 13 when I first got my phone. I think I was definitely too young for it. You know, I was exposed to a lot of stuff. But yeah, I like what the last guy was saying. There's things you can do to monitor it and all that. But at the same time, I don't know. I still probably wouldn't go with a smartphone. There's a lot of things that I'd worry about. Even just the internet alone, like. I don't know how much you can do to prevent them from even using just the internet on their phone, you know?
Scary stuff.
It is, because kids always find a way, and a lot of times they're just way ahead of being able to use it more so than parents
are.
Well,
they see it as soon as they're born. I mean, you hand Brooks a phone, and he knows that you got to scroll and push the button. They know how to turn it on, and he's... I mean, they've seen you use it since birth, so they know how to use all of this stuff. But, man, social media, access to internet, that stuff scares me.
Some people pointed out in Ticketext you can have them use like an Apple Watch or other, you know, smart watches as kind of a workaround. That way they're not on. You can see where they are.
Yeah, but even in schools, they're not allowing the Apple Watches either,
which
I think is great. Yeah, because, I mean, then, kids can sit there and text back and forth with each other.
But you still have to have your phone near your watch, right?
No, you can have...
See, I don't have Apple products.
You can have an Apple Watch that has cellular service.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, I have one because I like to go for runs, and if something were to happen to me, or if something happened at home, and I needed to be in touch with either the kids or with Lisa...
Exactly. Yes. Could save your life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Texter said.
Or not.
Or not. As they say, this is Jeff and Petoskey, when you're ready to end your child's innocence, provide them with a smartphone. You know it's true. Mm-hmm. We have three daughters. They'll never get phones until high school, and then they have to bring them to the kitchen every night at 10 p.m. Our three boys did not get phones until they were 13. They didn't have iPods or access to iPads. We didn't let them have Snapchat until the summer before they're entering high school, Steve, in Milford.
I mean, that's my hope. That's my goal. I hope social media is just done when Emily's older, Brooks is older. It just disappears. It
fizzles out.
Yeah, maybe it's just not going to be a thing. It's just all going to die.
There's a chance it won't last.
Sure.
Sure about that? Yeah. Joe and Howell, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So there's a actual cell phone called Bark that allows no social media on the phone and is tamper-proof from for kids, so they can't wipe out any of the parental stuff on it. And it also has the tracking capabilities.
Yeah, there's also an app, Bark. Like, and I think it's probably the phone from the app where I get an email every day that says these are the sites that they searched.
Oh, wow.
And so you get a chance to see their internet searches as well.
So there's a lot of technology that you can do to help ensure that your kids are not getting into no good. But it's still a lot of work on your end as a parent. And I guarantee you a lot of parents aren't doing all of that.
Yeah. It takes a lot of work.
I believe it. The more, well, especially for you with all your kids. I mean, you got a lot of phones to look through.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yes.
End of the day is like a
like
an assembly line. Texter says there's a book called Anxious Generation. It says smartphones shouldn't be had before 14, no social media before 16. Giving kids access to the dopamine rush before puberty can negatively impact their brain development.
I totally believe it. Never read the book, but...
My wife has done a lot of research on this, and all of those different things that you've just talked about are things that she brings up and will do differently with as Teddy is growing up.
It's 97.1.